Rock the Lakefront June 13th and 14th as Racine Harbor Fest returns for two unforgettable days of live music, mouthwatering food, and nonstop fun. Advance tickets $8, VIP tickets still available online at racineharborfest.com.
On three of its nuclear facilities. For now, back and forth missile strikes are ramping up between Iran and Israel. The BBC's Mark Lowen is in Tel Aviv.
Several explosions have been heard in Tehran. Israel says it is striking military targets in the Iranian capital. And Iran state media reports that electricity has been cut in northern Tehran.
A record-breaking heat wave is moving from Midwest to Northeast. These women are sweating it out in Philly.
It feels like it's more than 90 right now. It's really hot.
Hope my AC stays intact.
The Thunder beat the Pacers 103-91 in Game 7 of the finals last night to take the NBA title for the first time since they relocated to Oklahoma City. Season and series MVP Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I'm so proud of this group. I wouldn't have rather done it with any other group in the world. It feels good to be a champion.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. The other big political party could also be seeing a change at the top. According to JS Online, Wisconsin Republican Party Chairman Brian Schimming says he received a call from an executive committee member suggesting a majority of the board wants his resignation. Schimming tells the paper that he has since received calls of support across the state and has no immediate plans to step aside. The alleged move to push him out follows months of infighting over the party's direction and leadership. Today might be the hottest of them all. The extreme heat warning remains in effect through 7 tonight for Racine, Milwaukee, and Kenosha counties. Heat index values will hit near 107. Authorities say to stay hydrated and to stay cool. Cooling centers are still running in most communities. You can call 211 to find one near you. We'll have the latest on the heat and what comes next in the forecast. A gator was rescued from a Milwaukee apartment fire over the weekend. Yes, an alligator, a three-footer, was the only occupant firefighters found during a two-alarm house fire in Milwaukee Saturday on West Scott Street. The Milwaukee Area Domestic Animal Control Commission took custody of the animal. We're getting some numbers in connection to the bipartisan effort that would allow teachers to claim tax deductions for classroom materials they purchase. Lisa Hale has an update.
Under the proposed bill, teachers would be allowed to claim up to $300 of state income tax deductions for eligible expenses, including classroom materials and professional development courses. The bill was co-authored by Republican State Representative David Armstrong, and Democratic leaders say it's the least they can do for now, but that the state should be doing more to fund schools.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Wattles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at waukradio.com.
The Pirates come to town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers and Pirates face off tonight at AmFam Field. Milwaukee with a 9-8 win over the Twins and a three-game sweep in Minnesota. The last time that happened was 1996. The Brewers now in second place, just 3.5 games behind the Cubs in the NL Central. The Cubs losing yesterday 14-6 to the Mariners. Racing, Alex Palou wins the Expel IndyCar Grand Prix at Road America in Elkhart Lake, becoming the first driver since A.J. Foyt in 1975 to win six of the first nine races of the season. NBA, Oklahoma City Thunder are the NBA champions after beating the Pacers in OKC in Game 7, 103-91. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, leading with 29 points, showing concern for the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton, who suffered a torn Achilles tendon in the first quarter.
Like, I couldn't imagine playing the biggest game of my life and something like that happening. It's so unfortunate. It's not fair.
That's the Thunder's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This report is brought to you by Freedom Fireworks with 20 locations throughout southeastern Wisconsin. FreedomFireworksWI.com.
Boy, it is going to be warm and muggy again today. Sunshine, a little breezy with a high of 94, but that heat index is going to be pushing 100 today. A few thunderstorms this evening. A couple of those could be strong to severe tomorrow. Still a few scattered thunderstorms, but it will be cooler with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 76.
The 4th of July is right around the corner, and Freedom Fireworks has everything your family needs for a safe and exciting holiday celebration. With 20 southeastern Wisconsin locations fully stocked up with everything from sparklers to artillery shells, thundersnaps to 500-gram aerials, Freedom Fireworks guarantees to bring smiles and cheers to every backyard celebration. For fireworks from all the top brands and specials that can't be beat, go to FreedomFireworksWI.com for a location near you. Freedom Fireworks wishes you a safe and happy 4th of July.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend news headlines and also State Senator Calder Royce. Will the Joint Finance Committee actually meet this week? She'll tell us. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Monday morning, June 23rd, 2025, the last full weekend of June of the quarter of this first half of 2025. Already. Coming up on the program, we're going to be talking to Tracy Ann Mangold. She's a former top official with the 8th Congressional District Republican Party and is going to talk about not just how a lot of traditional Republicans have left the party, but what's been left in its wake. And that includes a report over the weekend that the state Republican Party chair may be on the verge of being ousted because the Trump supporters who have essentially taken over the party are dissatisfied with the job that he's doing. So we'll talk about that a bit. Jimmy Cusco will be along to talk about sports. In our next hour, we will talk to State Representative Francesca Hong about the state budget process and what a process it is when folks who talk a good game about bipartisanship decide they don't want to when it suits them. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here joining us from the nation's capital. Parker Olson is in Madison Studio A2. And meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here to tell us about the heat, the humidity, the rain that's come through. Some showers just moved through the Chippewa Valley here today or this morning. Kind of, Brittany, almost refreshing. You know, we needed a little shower after all that heat yesterday. Though I got to say, if you were in a shady spot and with that stiff wind of 20 miles an hour, it was not the ugliest, 100 degree heat the next day you'd ever have.
No, it wasn't too bad. I liked the breeze. It helped. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, that mugginess, though, there's no escaping that unless you were in the AC or right up against Lake Superior. I'll tell you, temperatures down there in the mid-50s, even while further away, just into Ashland, temperatures were into those low to mid-90s. So some crazy stuff still going on. It's 54 degrees at Superior, Lake Superior, 82 degrees right now into Ashland. Our lows have been hovering in the 80s. The mugginess has been stuck here, and today is the last day. Like Pat had said, a cold front is moving through. It's sparking up a few showers into northwestern places of the state, and then is going to continue to push southeast. Now, as we go through this afternoon, as it hits the hot, humid air that's still down there, we're still looking at heat advisories for the south and eastern half of the state. So that continues until about 7 o'clock tonight. We're still looking at heat index reaching about the low 100s. Temperatures in the mid-90s far southwest. Well, up north, it's in the upper 70s today. So yes, some free AC is on the way, but we've got to get through some storms that could potentially be strong to severe. Now, those are going to start to fire up probably around a line from La Crosse, north to Winona or so, then kind of take that up towards Wausau, just south of Rhinelander, and then the whole Fox Valley, Sheboygan area to northern Milwaukee, and then you kind of cut that down towards Janesville. So all the areas in between, Madison, central Wisconsin, all of these places are in a slight risk from the Storm Prediction Center for these strong to severe storms, which at first are going to pack the potential for a tornado or two, or maybe some large hail. So that'll be around 1 to 2 o'clock this afternoon as that starts. And then as the line progresses this evening into the Fox Valley and Madison area, probably around 6 or 7 or so, straight line winds become a risk there. Maybe 60, 70 mile per hour wind gusts. And then it starts to fizzle out around Milwaukee around midnight. And then you think we're in the clear, but we're not. This front is going to be parking itself over the state, continuing to give us showers and storms. And flooding then becomes a potential as we go into Wednesday and Thursday with heavy rain still continuing. So torrential downpours out there today, high winds, definitely a risk. And then, of course, hail or tornado may be early.
Okay, we'll pay attention to that forecast. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Sunny and 77 after an overnight low of 75 over the weekend. Tigerton had highs of 92 on Saturday, 95 on Sunday. He says he mowed the lawn on Saturday morning. Let's see. He mentions concrete buckling on a few areas along Highway 29 in Shawnee County, an accident along Highway 29 in the Wittenberg area that caused some major backups. He says he has to adjust his mowing schedule today. His truck is in the shop, supposed to be in Wittenberg mowing today, but he'll have to do yards in Tigerton where he keeps his other lawn tractor. It's always good to have one or the other. He says when he watered flowers on Main Street in Tigerton, it felt good handling the water without getting cold.
Yeah.
that would be one of the nice side effects of the heat wave like this. And says hi to his four favorite people on a Monday morning. Let's see. We mentioned Sonic the Hedgehog anniversary on this day in history. Tony says Sega was my console growing up. No Nintendo in my house. Sonic for life. Alicia, what? OMG. I remember playing Sonic when it first came out. And we were trying to discuss what is porridge. Tony has the answer here on YouTube. Porridge is trash, is what he has to say. So
tell us how you really feel, Tony, right?
Right. Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great day. Yes. All right, we'll see you next hour for a little update on the forecast coming up as well. In sports, Parker Olson has the top story in sports, but we're going to bury that lead and tell you first that the Brewers were winners. They swept the Twins, swept all three games of that series, 9-8 yesterday. Rhys Hoskins homered and doubled and drove in two runs. Bryce Turang hit a three-run homer. Caleb Durbin had three hits for the Brewers. They've now won four in a row. They're just 3.5 games back of the Cubs now. Jacob Mizorowski, fresh off pitching 5 no-hit innings in his first major league game, on Friday night against the Twins, took a perfect game into the 7th inning on Friday. So he had 11 total innings of no-hit ball to start a career. The first starting pitcher to do that since 1900. He will be pitching again Wednesday afternoon for the Brewers when they play the Pirates, and the Pirates will have their ace pitcher, Paul Skeens, on the mound. So Wednesday afternoon's game is going to be a big one at American Family Field. Not that take anything away from tonight's game. You can get coverage of that starting at 6:05 on several Civic Media stations. Head over to the website and learn more. But yeah, Jacob Mizorowski, pretty good pitcher. Parker Olson saw a pretty good pitcher at the Madison Mallards game over the weekend as well. An actual no-hitter, complete game all the way through.
Yeah, it was really exciting. It was like 4th or 5th inning, I think. I was in the press box working that camera, and everyone kind of like started going, hey, you should look at the scoreboard, but don't say anything. Because if we jinx this...
Don't ruin it.
Yeah, we're going to be in trouble if we mess this up.
Isaac Milburn was the pitcher's name, is the pitcher's name, I guess I should say. Where's he from?
He goes to Purdue. I believe he's actually from Kentucky.
Okay. So he did that. A 1-0 victory. How about that for run support?
Yeah.
He had 10 strikeouts and 2 walks. And was, really came in handy since the Mallards only managed 6 hits in the game. And that was always my worry for Jacob Mizorowski, was giving the kid, run support. You know?
Yeah, it's usually the pitching or the bats for the Brewers, it feels like.
Yes, yeah. So anyway, so that had to be fun looking at that and going, you don't want to say anything because you don't want to jinx it. And then you go, wait a minute, what is a jinx anyway?
Oh, yeah.
We abide by it anyway.
Rob's comment about OKC. Did you watch that last night? That was fun.
No. I just dipped in briefly to see that Oklahoma City was well ahead and won the NBA title. First time they've won it in Oklahoma City. I still, yes, I know it's been 17 years. I still
think Seattle.
Think back. I still feel bad for Seattle for losing the Supersonics when that team won a title in 1979 and then relocated to Oklahoma City 2008, I believe it was. So congratulations, Oklahoma City, for having a little something to cheer about there as well. So.
Can we also send congratulations to Team Vitality that won the Blast TV Austin Major 2025 in Counter-Strike 2 in Austin, Texas over the weekend? Do you know people
do
that?
What the hell are you talking about?
How many of those words did you understand, Pat?
None. I just read it. 40,000 people went to Austin, Texas to watch people play a video game in like 9 hours a day of video game playing, including my oldest son, Abe, who loves this. And I do not understand. So if you gamers are out there, congratulations.
To all gamers, not to the, to all gamers.
Look, the first time that I heard about, you know, quote unquote, esports of just watching people play video games, obviously, I wanted to poo-poo it. And then, of course, people said, well, how's that any different than watching a football game or a baseball game or whatever? I don't know, because we're watching people using their bodies, their arms, their legs, and not just a thumb on button A and a thumb on button B or something like that. So, again, showing my age. That's all I needed to play Pong, you know, back in the day. So,
how do you think you would do with video games today, Pat?
Oh, awful. Okay. Absolutely awful. Okay. We had a Nintendo Wii for a while.
Ooh.
And I'll tell you why. And then, Kristen, if I run out of time, don't let me forget to ask about the weekend Dr. Kristen Lyerly show. But when Mason was born, our oldest grandchild, 18 years ago, I remember seeing a news report about how, you know, hey, if you're a grandparent, you should start to learn some of these video games so that you can play with your kid. It'll be a great bonding experience and everything else. So we thought, okay, let's do that. Let's try. And, you know, so again, we're talking 2007, 8, 9, something like that. And the games were somewhat manageable. And at some point it was just, you know, Mason, have a good time. Come upstairs for some cookies when you're done, because there was just no way to keep up with what you have to do with these things now. I miss Pong. I miss Ms. Pac-Man. I don't want to have to use, you know, three different fingers here, two here, and two toes, you know, to try to make sure that I'm firing in all the right directions or whatever it is I'm trying to say here.
I have tried, and when my kids are like, no, Mom, they ate one on the side. I just can't keep up with it. I can't do it.
No. So, again, it's not that it's not a talent. It's not that it's not something that you'd like to watch for a minute or two, you know, but I also know people say that about baseball, and I would watch baseball all day long if I could. So it's just a matter of what you're used to. Hey, look, I left enough time to hear about the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show. What'd you have last weekend? What's coming up next?
Last weekend, we talked with Representative Ryan Spouty and candidate for state Senate, Sean Grorich, about the policy of pride, some of the cool stuff that's happening in the legislature right now. Do you know that our LGBTQ+ caucus doubled in the last election? Mm-hmm. And I think I mentioned this last week, 4 out of the 5 elected state reps in Northeast Wisconsin are members of the community. So we talked about that, which was really cool. And then upcoming this week, we're going to talk to Alan Tipple from Men for Choice about why abortion is an issue for men too. I think often men are like, you know, this is not my problem. I don't get it, but actually it is your problem and you ought to get it. And here's why. It's going to be a great conversation. My son Abe's going to be there. My partner Craig is going to be there sharing different perspectives on how they approach this issue and why it's important for really all of us to understand the impact.
Has Craig tried to do the video games? Does he do better than you do being an officer of the law and everything?
No. Craig, okay. No. Okay. No, but he's great with his weapon. So that's the important thing for a police officer.
Yeah, the real one, not the A or B or whatever. Alicia writes, esports are brain power. Absolutely. So, I mean,
great kids. I'm just going to stick to watching the Packers and the Brewers, if you don't mind. A local update is next for some of you. If you're hanging around here, Kristen and I will continue to gab for a bit. And then when we all get back together in 15 minutes, we will spend a good chunk of time with Tracy Ann Mangold talking about divisions in the state Republican Party. And in our next hour, Francesca Hong from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this Monday morning. This past Thursday saw the celebration of Juneteenth Day, and in Milwaukee, that is a day that holds a rich and long history for the city. And while some will point to events in recent times as a way of saying enough progress has been made, there is still a great deal of work to be done. Maggie Dawn sat down with Milwaukee County Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson to talk about the work they're doing in Milwaukee, but also discuss her journey as a Black woman in elected office. She opens up about navigating systemic misogyny, harsh media scrutiny, and the constant questioning of her qualifications, despite a proven track record of service to her constituents.
Here in Milwaukee, I always have a hopeful feeling.
Yeah.
I'm so proud to be from here. I love this city. It is so near and dear to my heart. I love all of the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I bought John Gerda's book. The updated version. I gave out like six of them, including to you.
I have
my
one.
Friend. You
got I
one of those
do.
Very books. The City of Neighborhoods. It's so amazing.
I love it.
But let's get into this. Just before we took a break, we started to get into the concept of intersectionality and the fact that the feminist movement really, in many ways, and many scholars have argued, actually hurt the cause of justice and full pay for Black women, because it really set this cultural normative assumption that white women in the workplace, that became sort of the cultural definition of women in the workplace. And frankly, white women reaped about 90% of the benefit of the movement, right?
Yes.
You look at white women get paid, I think it's 81 cents to the white man's dollar.
Yes.
Black women, it's 62 damn cents.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Like almost 20 cents less.
Right.
It's truly, truly shocking. And what we've seen in the Trump administration, and we can get into some of these statistics, but that the gutting of the federal workforce. Well, guess which department in the federal government, Marcy, has 28% of its employees are Black women?
The Department of Education.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big shock. So all of this is having this really acute harm for Black women. And in fact, although the U.S. economy has overall added jobs since Donald Trump has become president, Black women have lost north of 110,000 jobs. That is shocking. So I was wondering if you could just speak from your experience a little bit. When these issues have arisen from your perspective, let's just focus on your professional life. How have you navigated that? Because it is so challenging when you're getting, it's like mansplained and race-splained, right? Like maybe
all
we're going to coin a new term, race-splaining, when one person tells Black folk how things are, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'll talk about it from two folks. I'm in a very unique situation, but I'll start with my role as chairwoman of the county board. Before we went on break, we talked about what I have to deal with, the microaggressions, the white man trying to tell me just what is justice and how to impact equity. And it's really, you know, it comes down to the misogyny that I face, the misogynoir, as I call it. And then, you know, you have the media coupled with that is not kind to Black women. And having to navigate that is challenging. You just have so much coming at you all the time. And you're trying to perform for your residents. You're trying to put your head down and just do the work. Because that's why I signed up for it.
Yeah.
I didn't sign up for the attention. I didn't sign up to have my name, to go to the ribbon cuttings. But you're constantly battling and trying to prove yourself and trying to overcompensate. And I know that I'm qualified for this role. I've been on the county board for 9 years now. I've been chairwoman for 5. I got elected at the height of the global pandemic. I led our body through that. I've led my body through 4 budgets so far, coming on our 5th. Our last budget was unanimous. That accumulated to almost $6.3 billion in investment in our community. So I know that I'm qualified. I have a college degree. I've done trainings. I've gone to conferences. I've done all the development work. And still I'm being told that I'm not good enough for the job. So that's something that I face as a Black woman in politics. And I'm constantly seeing my sisters in this work, women who are mayors, district attorneys, alderwomen, whatever have you, in other cities and states who are losing their elections because of the rhetoric surrounding Black women post Kamala Harris's race. There is just an assault on elected Black women everywhere. Money poured into these races. We can't compete with the resources that are being poured into some of these races. So you have this attack on political women in the political fight. And then me, because the state assaulted our county board and made us part-time, actually work on the side of this.
Yeah.
And I do training. And I do training in the DEI sector. And my organization that I contract with lost funding. And so I no longer have employment with this organization. And so when we talk about how Black women are being impacted, it's this accumulation of, it's the rhetoric, it's the, you know, it's the misogyny, it's the misogynoir, it's all those things that continually assault us from so many places. So this has a outward effect, not just on us, but our communities as well.
The entirety of that interview can be found on civicmedia.us/shows. Search for The Maggie Dawn Show and find that episode, as well as many other episodes you can catch up on in case you missed it. You can also subscribe to any of our shows as a podcast. Go to your podcast distribution center of choice, search for the show you want, subscribe,
And when a new episode is available, it will be sent directly to your device. You've been listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WAUK show with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play Store. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll see you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
More money. It is a simple message that state legislators are sending to the governor on the Agriculture Road Improvement Program. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. The program was launched last year with incredible success. Basically, it's monies that will go to upgrading local roads that carry over 15 million tons of agriculture goods from farms to processors every year. Now, Travis Tranel, current chair of the Assembly Agriculture Committee, says the previous round of funding was at $150 million. Now, the governor proposing just $50 million for the program. And Tranel says that's just not enough.
Well, definitely make sure that if we pass a budget that we restore that $100 million cut to AREP. I think that's ultimately probably the most consequential thing that we can really do for agriculture right now, because our infrastructure is just crumbling. We're doing more damage to our equipment on the roads in a lot of cases than we are in the fields, and I don't think that's acceptable. And $150 million spend, that's a big spend and a big infusion. So I would say that would continue to be first and foremost.
Travis Tranel, he's a farmer himself and also the chair of the Assembly Agriculture Committee. He cites some of the application numbers from last year's final round of the Agriculture Road Improvement Program, where 299 applications were made for more than $500 million worth of projects, more than three times the amount of available funding. Tranel says that's an example of why funding for the AREP program cannot be retrenched.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
With all the action that's coming up as far as county fairs and continued activity at the state capitol, don't miss a thing. Sign up for our daily e-newsletter. You can do it at MidwestFarmReport.com. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Boy, it is going to be warm and muggy again today. Sunshine, a little breezy with a high of 94, but that heat index is going to be pushing 100 today. A few thunderstorms this evening. A couple of those could be strong to severe tomorrow. Still a few scattered thunderstorms, but it will be cooler with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 76.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically, a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time. Weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing.
How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Maggie Dawn.
LGBTQ rights are under attack. At 4:30, Patrick Faribault from Our Lives magazine joins to discuss what's at stake and how we celebrate pride right here in Wisconsin. Don't miss the Maggie Dawn Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
I think there was supposed to be some bumper music there, but we might have a little problem over there in Madison. So we're back here with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and with Tracy Ann Mangold, and we are talking about what's happening in the Wisconsin Republican Party, starting with the 8th Congressional District in Northeast Wisconsin, where Tracy and Kristen hail from. And Tracy was a party official with the Republican Party there for a number of years before stepping away. Now there's talk that State Republican Party Chair Brian Schimming may be ousted from the job. And Tracy, as you've given us the background on this previously, Schimming was not a very prodigious fundraiser, especially compared to somebody like, say, a Ben Wickler. Yeah. But to me, the larger issue is that you have these county parties that break away and decide to do things on their own because they see Donald Trump doing it. They see him breaking the norms, breaking the rules, breaking the law, and it works for him. He wins elections. He gets to do whatever he wants. And so they think, well, why shouldn't we do the same thing? And somewhere along the line, you and maybe Brian Schimming and maybe others have to say, there still need to be rules and there need to be consequences for breaking the rules, or else why are we even a group?
Exactly. And I think, you know, when you've got Trump doing whatever he wants, like you said, it legitimizes everybody from the, you know, top down. And that's what you have with these people. And I believe the Brian is afraid of there. That's a lot of it, is there's fear. I mean, you've heard some of the people in Congress saying, well, they're afraid. Then why are you there? Right. And, you know, he said he won for Trump. He did not win for Trump. Trump won Wisconsin. Trump had staff here. Turning Point largely won it for Trump. But Brian Schimming and the state party did not do their job. And I mean, I'm not speaking in favor of that, but I'm just saying the facts is that they did not do their job. And, you know, with the counties too, there is no outreach. There's typically a lot of communication. He's a horrible communicator. You know, Andrew Hitt, the prior chair, was a great communicator. I feel he left too soon, and I know why he left, but, you know, he had a touch that he worked with the county parties. He was, you know, out there about with us, in his short time. Brian seems to be above that, or think he is. And right now, from what I hear, he is fighting the call to resign. You know, they did not want him in again this last term, but at that time there was nobody else. I think Brandon Malley, the former state party or county chair from Dane County and also a Turning Point executive, I think he recently is resigning from that post. But there was talk that he was going to run, and obviously that would have been worse. You don't want Turning Point because that's their agenda to take over. So it was kind of the lesser of two evils is from what I heard, which obviously was not a good one.
Tracy, let's play this out, because we know, and you know better than anybody, that across the state, there is a lot of division here. You've got this kind of ultra mega wing. That's what we see in the 8th CD with Brown and Oconto and Waupaca counties. And then you see the other folks who are, they're pretty mega. I mean, they're Republican, but there's a giant division there. How does this resolve as they are looking at a new leader for the Republican Party, and who could potentially step in here?
That is a good question. At this time, I don't know. I honestly don't know, because the factions are so deep, you know, within, and I can only speak to the 8th district. So, but, you know, the counties there, you know, I'm out of touch, obviously. There's some people I'm still very close to who are longtime friends, but in terms of the county parties up, like say Marinette County, they have a new chair and now she's gone and now they have an interim chair. My mom, longtime Republican since age 17, she's 88 now, she resigned from the Republican Party because she is so upset by what's going on. And I've said to people, they're probably getting sick of hearing this, but you know, President Johnson said, when you've lost Cronkite, you've lost the country. And I likewise with my mom and the Republican Party, when Shirley Kaufman leaves the Republican Party, something is very, very wrong. Because she is the one that you stand up and you fight to the end. You fight. And right now, I don't think there is a solution.
Let me game this out then in terms of, you know, the Trump wing of the party and how far they're willing to go to get whatever it is that they want. And I'm going to put it to you very simply. If or when Donald Trump says, there's no reason I can't run for a third term, I'm going to run for a third term, there's going to be a block of Americans who are going to say, yep, bring that on. Do you think that's going to be the, you know, the consensus of that particular group of Wisconsin Republicans as well?
That I don't know.
It's a look, I get it's a damning thing to say about our friends and neighbors, but I mean,
it's scary because when you look at the comments on social media, right. You know, when Trump does something, they're still unified behind him. I mean, there's some that aren't. There are some that aren't staying with him. But what bothers me are the people that are staying with him and the legislators that are. Now, we're talking about, of course, there's no checks and balances on him right now. But in order for him to actually do a third term, the only way that, you know, it's not constitutional, but the only way that they could is a constitutional convention, which I've been talking about. It's a very long-reaching event that you'd have to cross a lot of, you know, T's and dot a lot of I's to get to. But from what I've heard, there is active movement trying to get, what, 2/3 of the states to sign up for it. And then we'd have a massive problem because they could go into the, if they have a constitutional convention, there are no rules, there are no barriers, nothing. So they could come in and say, oh, well, while we're here, let's cross off the right to women's right to vote. Let's cross off this. They could totally dismantle the Constitution. And yeah, I know I'm getting into the weeds here, but it's something we have to have in our heads, in our minds, and be prepared. That's the thing I'm telling people is, it's, this is not scare tactics. This is just being prepared and being smart and being educated.
And that's where I feel like I am coming from the left side of things, is that if there's a group of Americans that want to go there, then we're going to go there. And we're going to finally address the Second Amendment, which was written for muskets. We're going to make sure that money is not defined as free speech. We're going to enshrine women's reproductive health rights. So yeah, there's people that want a constitutional convention to go way over to this extreme. I'm willing to go over to this not extreme, this place where most people are, and say our country would be in a better place if we would go there. So I don't know. I think this, I've listened for years about calling for a constitutional convention. I don't think they understand the degree to which they're playing with fire in a country that would be forever divided.
Right. And right now is not, you know, right now, the leadership that's in place, it would be complete disaster if such a thing were to happen. You don't have anybody with any shred of common sense in this administration that, you know, gives a rip about the effects that would have. Look what they're already doing with our medical, with everything else, insurance, what have you. So I don't know. It scares me. I pray to God it doesn't happen, but it is something that I worry about because the ramifications of it, it's not something to be taken lightly.
So let's go back to the grownups in the room. Who are they in the Republican Party and who might step up if Brian Schimming were to resign? Who could be the leader of Wisconsin's Republican Party?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I have people inside that are staying in to kind of hold the wall up, you know, hold the hold the line,
hold the door. Yeah.
Not because they want to be there, but because of the fact that, you know, they're hoping that maybe they can see some stuff through and then get out. But I honestly, I don't anymore. I mean, you know, Paul Farrow, you know, he's had health issues. He was chair for a while. If he were 100% healthy, if he would come back, if he could be chair, somebody like him, you know, I don't necessarily agree with all the policies, obviously, with the party anymore, because I'm no longer in the party, but he's a decent man. I like Paul. Like I said, he's had cancer struggles. I hear he's doing well, but if he could get healthy, he'd be what I would, if I were going to say for the Republican Party, he would be the common sense person to get in that place. I would probably suggest get a separate fundraising person, because I think that you have to have a special chops to be able to do that. Ben Wickler is, you know, one of a kind in that regard. And so I don't know. I think the Republican Party, I don't have a lot of hope for it. I think it has to be completely decimated and then rebrought up, which is what I'm trying to do in the other groups that I'm working with. But this current incarnation with what they're doing, they're not doing anything to help their counties, to help their people. They're just letting everything run ragged.
Kristen, let me follow up with your point there. Are you saying that it might have to be somebody who thought they went away and they come back in? Much like Ben Wickler was from Wisconsin, but he had all this national experience that he brought back to the state. Is that what you're seeing in a Mike Gallagher or a Paul Ryan or somebody like that, that you think might be where the Republicans have to go next?
They won't go there. I can guarantee you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but they won't go there. They won't. No, not even the more sane Republicans are. Paul Ryan is a little bit less. Mike, I can't see Mike coming back for that.
Well, that's what I was wondering if Kristen was going to think the same thing. It's like once you go, it's like this isn't Godfather 3. They're not going to bring you right back in. You know, it doesn't work like that.
This seems like a consequence of the strategy that Republicans are using across the country. This fear and division that's been sown just creates chaos and doesn't make people feel like they belong, doesn't inspire people to step up and lead. It's almost like the leaders are the people who feel just like they have to do it because nobody else is going to do it. I don't know that that's the kind of leadership that has the vision that I want to be involved with. I want leadership that sees a future and says, let's create these things. Let's solve these problems. I just don't know where that comes from in the Republican Party in Wisconsin right now.
And you're right. I think the division is such that the real fear right now is if you get somebody who's a turning point person ends up being chair, then... then we're even worse, you know, I mean, even worse than with Brian Schimming. I mean, I'm at a loss. Like I used to be able to tell you, I could tell you a while ago, you know, who I would think, who I could tell you, I can't even name names who I'd like to see because I don't want to speak for them. But like I said, Paul Farrell's probably the least, like the best choice at this time that I can think of. I'm sure there's others out there. I just can't think of them.
I think it's a commentary on extremism in politics, and you see to a lesser degree on the Democratic side as well, that good people who might want to do these kinds of things, they have no desire to, because they see that you know, moderation is currently punished in so many political circles today, and it is just a crying shame. Tracy Ann Mangold, former top official with the 8th Congressional District Republican Party, thank you very much for helping shine some light on this.
Hope I did.
As well, as best we could. And Kristen's got a busy day ahead in the nation's capital, telling stories on this Dobbs anniversary. So we'll look forward to hearing more about that on Friday, I hope, Kristen.
Absolutely. We'll talk soon.
All right. Coming up next, a local update for some of you. Jimmy Costco will be along for the rest of us to talk sports. And in our 8 o'clock hour, we're back together and talking to State Representative Francesca Hong at 8:30. Again, these are your mornings powered by Up North News. Live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night. And today, the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. We talk about it a lot on Civic Media, but part of the culture of Wisconsin is the lake life. And we all love being on the lake, whether it's on a fast boat, a slow boat. I'm a pontoon guy. I don't know about you. But we all know a story. It's happened to us or a friend, or we read it in the news. Somebody loses something in the water, whether it's something of great value, whether it's an electronic device, or God forbid, your keys. But we all have heard the tale. And that brings up the question, what happens to everything down there? Because there must be so much. Well, there's one man in Wisconsin who has made it his mission to find as much of it as possible to clean up our Wisconsin waters. WRJN's Don Rosen sat down with Mike Bino, the editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine, to talk about this unique character doing good work for our precious Wisconsin resource.
We're talking about a real character here, a gentleman, Ed the Diver. He's from Marinette. He's got a place in Marinette and also one in Green Bay. So he's on a crusade. He's a scuba diver. He's on a crusade to clean up Wisconsin's lakes and rivers, and there's some 3,200 small lakes around Wisconsin, 15,000 miles of rivers. He's got a big job ahead of him. But Ed came to the conclusion that, and it's correct, people love the water, And things that people have naturally flow into the water, okay? He's down there with his oxygen tank and his mask, and he makes little videos of these that he posts online. He's down there cleaning up things like he hauls a kayak with him up on the surface. Okay, glass bottles from long-forgotten breweries, wooden planks from docks. There's cell phones. There's fishing tackle. There's fishing tackle boxes. There's coolers. There's lures. There's wrenches. There's golf clubs. There's toilets. There's firearms, wallets, watches, dolls, miles of fishing line. People even lose their clothes in the water. And I'll leave it at that. But he finds on this crusade to pick this stuff up.
He finds Apple watches in the water too.
He does that, you know, and he'll find people will hire him to come to the marina and find their cell phone or find Apple watches, and he charges a fee when he travels to do that. This cleanup is volunteer, but if he finds a watch or if he finds a cell phone, he'll fire it up. If he can get it started, he will attempt to get it back to the owner, simply not for anything other than the good feelings of returning things to people. What's attractive here is you see these pictures in color of all these snorkels and all these watches and all these things he's found in the water in a big blob of fishing lures. Now, any fisherman will tell you that Rapalas and musky plugs, these things are pricey. It's nothing to pay $25 for a musky lure. And you hook it up and you lose it, you know, underwater. That's where this all started. Ed and his kids were fishing along the Menominee River up near Marinette. And what he said was it was spring walleye fishing, shoulder-to-shoulder combat fishing. You know, when the run is on, people are, you know, it's like in Fremont, they're fishing hard. And he says, pretty soon I'm hooking up my lures and losing them. The kids are all losing lures. We're tying more on. The kids keep losing lures. These things are pretty expensive, and my tackle box getting empty. So he went with his waders and a golf ball finder, and he started picking lures, okay, and retrieving them. Now, you watch some of these videos online, the man looks like somebody berry picking. He's down there finding these lures, picking them off of rocks, off of logs. He's freeing little animals that may be tangled up in line. He and his friend went down there and found 16,000 lures in 1 year. He told me recently, okay, he was on the Fox River in De Pere. They break off anchors there. In 2 hours, he hauled up 27 boat anchors, and he cleans his stuff up and sells it, but it's not really a living. He's got sponsors. The guy from Nicolet Law on the billboards all over the state is his largest sponsor, but he also has Meatsky's Quality Meats in Pound, which is near his childhood home in Lena. So the meat market sponsors him. And Ed is out there doing something for humanity. They recently called him up to Minocqua to come and clean outside the bridge. On Highway 51, he found two cash drawers. We were talking about criminal activity before. It's astonishing what's down there. But the best story is for all these efforts, he made a bigger catch. At the foot of the Shawano Dam, he found a Barbie doll. Okay, so he cleaned up Barbie and he auctioned her online, and people started bidding. And he got a bid for $1,225. A lady named Christy Barlament of Green Bay won Barbie for that bid. And so he cleaned up Barbie, put her in a little mermaid with a mermaid plaque and tackle box, and delivered Barbie to Christy, and then they decided to go out to dinner. Well, they're engaged to be married now.
Christy, oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, Christy is his business. She's working with him on the diving detail. Fun stuff, Ed the Diver.
And that, friends, is why I never take anything with me on a boat. It's all in my car. It stays locked up. I don't want to lose anything in the water because that's just too much stress for me. I don't know about you. Thanks to Don Rosen for having that great talk with Mike Bino of Our Wisconsin Magazine. And you can listen to them live by downloading the Civic Media app right to your phone. It's free, it's easy, and through the app, you can also call, text, or even leave a voice note for the show. So get that Civic Media app now and take us anywhere you're going. You've been listening to WAUK's Local Report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll be back in 20 minutes. News and sports are up next. It's 7:59.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Israel and Iran are trading missile strikes after the U.S. bomb attacks on three Iranian nuclear facilities over the weekend. We heard from the U.N.'s atomic watchdog this morning. CBS's Remy Innocencio.
The quote here, given the explosive payload utilized and the extremely vibration-sensitive nature of those centrifuges down there, very significant damage is expected to have occurred.
Top Trump administration officials have insisted the U.S. attacks were not intended to oust the Ayatollah, but President Trump may have a different perspective. CBS's Natalie Brand.
He says it's not politically correct to use the term regime change, but if the current Iranian regime is unable to make Iran great again, why wouldn't there be regime change?
Scorching temperatures will spread out in the east today. CBS meteorologist Rob Marciano.
Today, 96 in New York, 99 in Hartford, and 100 degrees down in D.C.
CBS News.